Let us pray. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, has overcome death and opened unto us the gate of everlasting life, we humbly beseech you that, as you put into our minds good desires, so by your continual help we may bring the same to good effect, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The eighth day, the day of the new creation. The Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they and some others came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They entered in, and didn't find the Lord Jesus' body. While they were greatly perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling white. Becoming terrified, they bowed their faces down to the earth. They said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He isn't here, but is risen. Remember what he told you when he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered up into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again?" They remembered his words, returned from the tomb, and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. The other women with them told these things to the apostles. These words seemed to them to be nonsense, and they didn't believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he departed to his home, wondering what had happened. Alleluia! Christ is risen! He is risen indeed! Alleluia! Let us go forth in peace in the name of the Lord. Amen. When I awake, I am still with thee. Alleluia! Thou laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. When I awake, I am still with thee. Alleluia. Thou lay thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Alleluia.
Let us join.
Old Testament lesson for the resurrection of our Lord is written in the 25th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah, beginning at the 6th verse. In this mountain, the Lord of armies will make all peoples a feast of choice meat, a feast of choice wines, a choice meat full of marrow, of well-refined choice wines. He will destroy in this mountain the surface of the covering that covers all peoples, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He has swallowed up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. He will take the reproach of his people away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. It shall be said in that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God."
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The strife is o'er, the battle done. Now is the victor's triumph won. Now be the song of praise begun.
The epistle is written in the 15th chapter of the first epistle to the Corinthians, beginning at the first verse. Now I declare to you, brothers, the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold firmly the word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then the 12. Then he appeared to over 500 brothers at once, most of whom remain until now, but some have also fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to the child born at the wrong time, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, who is not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. His grace, which was given to me, was not futile, but I worked more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Whether then it is I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went early, while it was still dark, to the tomb, and saw the stone taken away from the tomb. Therefore she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." Therefore Peter and the other disciple went out, and they went toward the tomb. They both ran together. The other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths lying, yet he didn't enter in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and entered into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying, and the cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. So then the other disciple who came first to the tomb also entered in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they didn't know the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary was standing outside at the tomb, weeping. So as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. They asked her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, and didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Teacher." Jesus said to her, "Don't hold me, for I haven't yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had said these things to her. Here ends the Gospel. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. In that he liveth unto God. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. In that he liveth unto God. Alleluia. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. In that he liveth unto God. Alleluia.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our psalm says, I awake and I am still with you, alleluia. You lay your hand upon me, alleluia. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. Do you remember your parents ever telling you, or maybe your teachers even, that you better be careful what you say because God is listening? Or you better be careful what you do because God is watching. And so when you weren't around them, that's how they'd put the fear of God in you to keep you in line. But David, writing this psalm, has that same fear of God in him. No matter where he went, no matter what he did, there was God. When David went to bed at night, there was God. When he woke up in the morning, there was God. When he got up, there was God. No matter where he was in his palace, no matter where he was in Israel or beyond, no matter if he was relaxing or worshiping or sleeping or at war, whatever he was doing, there was God. And so David, thinking about this, finally throws up his hands and says that if he were to go up into heaven, God would be there. And if he were to go down to the lowest point of the earth with the dead, God would be there too. There is nothing that David or we can do to escape God. He is everywhere. And so David says that this knowledge of God being everywhere is too wonderful for him and for us. Not wonderful in the sense of how great it is or how comforting it is, but wonderful in the sense of its magnitude. It's too much for him. He can't grasp it. He can't handle it. When David tells God, you lay your hand upon me, what David is saying is that he feels like a bug trapped in God's hand. He can't get out. David knows his sins. We know our sins. And to know our sins and to know that God is always watching and listening, it can be suffocating. And David, he's writing this psalm because he doesn't know how to handle it. And if we're honest, when that fear of God is in us, we don't know how to handle it either. Because God is omnipresent. He's omniscient. He is everywhere. He knows everything. We can't escape that. However, listen to the rest of the psalm. Let's listen to it again. David says, I awake and I still am with you. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. Even there, your right hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Well, that doesn't sound nearly as terrifying. Because you see, the death and resurrection of Christ, it's changed everything. And this tomb, yes, David wrote it, but it's really Christ's prayer. And he's praying this psalm in the tomb as he's resurrected. He awakes. He sits up in the tomb and he prays to the Father, I am awake. That is, I am resurrected. I still am with you. Christ accomplished it all, and the Father was with him. When Christ was sat down and buried in the tomb, when he descended and harrowed hell, there was the Father with him. When he awoke and sat up in the tomb, there the Father was with him. When he ascended into heaven, there the Father was with him at his right hand. Which means for you, if your parents or your teachers have told you, or if your spouses tell you now, be careful what you do, Jesus is watching, you don't have to fear that. There's actually great comfort in that. Because Christ died for your sins, he rose to justify you. In baptism, you are united to him who forgives you. And now, just as the Father was always with Christ, now Christ is always with you. And if Christ is always with you, then you are always forgiven. You always have eternal life. You always have salvation. When Christ died and rose, he didn't do that so he could be with you as a terrible judge, but as your good shepherd. So as you go throughout life, whether you're in school or you're in college, whether you're working or retired, whether you're married or with children or grandchildren or widowed, whatever stage in life you're at, when you sit down or when you rise up, whether you're at home or traveling afar, there is Christ always with you, always shepherding you, always guiding you with his gentle, strong hand, because he's been down in the tomb. He's been up to heaven. Everywhere he's been is where you could possibly go. So he is always with you. More than that, wherever you are, Christ is holding you in his right hand. That means he is using his strength and power to protect you. When you go to bed at night, he holds you and protects you. When you wake in the morning, there he is protecting you. When you die and are laid in Sheol, that is, when you die and are buried in the earth, that's what Sheol is, being buried in the earth, even there, Christ is holding you, even in the grave. And the day when you will rise up, the day when you are resurrected, there Christ will be holding you as well. As you ascend into heaven, there he is also, your good shepherd with you, in this life, in the grave, in the resurrection, up in heaven. Christ has died and risen for you. He is your Lord now. He holds you in his right hand. No matter where you go or what happens to you, no one can snatch you out of his right hand. And he says it is finished, and he is risen. That will never change. So leave today here in comfort and peace. Christ is always with you. The resurrected Christ will never leave you. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Humble thyself to be born of
pray thee.
O Lord, have mercy upon us. O Christ, have mercy upon us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beseech you, Almighty God, that we who celebrate the solemnities of the Lord's resurrection may by the renewal of your Holy Spirit rise again from the death of the soul. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. And we beseech you so to implant your word in us that, in good and honest hearts, we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith by patient continuance and well-doing. Most heartily, we beseech you so to rule and govern your Church Catholic, with all her pastors and ministers, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, whereby faith toward you may be strengthened, love and charity increased in us toward all mankind, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to Joseph, our President, the Congress of these United States, Kim, our Governor, the Legislature of this state, and to all our judges and magistrates, and endue them with grace to rule after your good pleasure, to the maintenance of righteousness, and to the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. May it please you also to turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their enmity and hostilities, and be inclined to walk with us in meekness and in peace. All who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially those who are in suffering for your name's sake, comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, that they may receive and acknowledge their afflictions as the manifestation of your fatherly will. Especially do we pray for those that we name in our hearts at this time. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and manifold punishments, yet we entreat you, O most merciful Father, remember not the sins of our youth nor our many transgressions, but out of your unspeakable goodness, grace, and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger of body and soul. Preserve us from false and pernicious doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. And in every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all men, and especially of them that believe. Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, and crown them with your blessing. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring before you. For by his blood your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour shall come, support us by your power and receive us into your everlasting kingdom. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.